Let's just take a few minutes just to maybe close your eyes and let's just ask the Holy Spirit to fill us up afresh. You might want to just lay your hands on the person next to you. Let's just ask His Spirit to come in increased measure. Yeah, Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come and just minister deep into our hearts this morning, Lord. We want to hear afresh from you. Lord, we want our ears to be unblocked, we want our eyes to be open to hear what you're saying, to see what you're doing and see what that means for us. So Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. We just want to see your kingdom coming here this morning. Lord, I pray that people would receive healing for their bodies, lightness in their spirit. Lord, you know the needs of each one here, Lord, and so we just invite your kingdom to come. Amen. Has anyone got a problem with their right ear? Ah, one person.
Nigel has.
He's not here.
Okay. Well, if anyone, a couple of days ago felt like that someone with the right ear needed to be healed. So if anyone's got faith to go and pray over Jean while I'm speaking and just pray for breakthrough in that, please do. But you know, like when God releases a word about what he wants to heal, then we can believe that there's anointing to do it. So I encourage you to go for that. Okay, so Helen told me in the week that the thing that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to her for you as a congregation is the whole thing about finding your voice. So I've listened to Helen's talk from last week. Who was here for Helen's talk last week? Most people. So Helen was talking about finding your voice, which can mean all different kinds of things for different people in different ways. But the thing that I want to focus on this morning is the whole thing of you as a congregation finding your voice in the town of Barlow. Now, of course, you know, there are loads of other places where we find our voice. Many of you have workplaces where you know God's called you to be, and he's called you to be a voice in that place. Or other kind of things that, you know, there's so many amazing things in this congregation that people are involved in. And it's not taking away from that, but the thing I just feel to focus on is about you collectively as a congregation finding your voice in the town of Marlow. So are you ready to hear what the Spirit is saying to you for that? Because I really feel inspired myself. I was actually preaching to myself yesterday. I don't know, like, those of you who preach, do you ever, like, preach to yourselves? Does anyone else do it? And I actually, like, sometimes get really excited myself from preaching to myself. So I was getting really excited yesterday as I was preaching to myself what I'm going to share this morning. And Helen also asked me just to talk a little bit about finding voice in student work, which I'll try and fit in briefly in the time that we have left. But... But this week at the Journey, we've been having a 24/7 prayer week, and we've just been really blessed by God. Some of you may not know, but the Methodist church that we meet in Ickford Green has been refurbished over this last year, and we've got a wonderful partnership with the Methodist church there and with the Anglican church in the village, and to be part of this whole venture to which has refurbished this building, which the dedication service is happening this afternoon, and the builders have been working 24/7 for this whole week to get it finished. And I went in there this morning and it's like almost done. It looked absolutely amazing, and I was just like, wow, God, how do we get this? This is just awesome. And one of the things that we've got as part of this is we've got this prayer room, and it's a really big space, and it's up in the roof, and it's got like windows under the sky so you can like pray under the stars. And it's just an awesome space. And, you know, one of our responsibilities for the building is to run this prayer room. And we're just so grateful to God because there are so many amazing plans for this to be used as a community centre into the village. But we know that we're only going to see the kind of impact that we want to see in our village and at the university if the Spirit comes and does something. So we've had this 24/7 prayer week this week. And, you know, as I've been in there praying and seeking God, you know, I've been wrestling with the whole thing of we read through the Gospels and we read Acts And we see the incredible power that they walked in and the impacts that they made. You know, we see thousands of people becoming Christians. We see miracles taking place that unlock situations. And yet, although we see it in a measure at the moment in our church, we don't see it to the level of what we read in Scripture. And if I'm really honest, it really frustrates me, because I'm like, oh God, I would have expected to see far more than I've seen up until this point. Why is it? And so, you know, I've been praying and asking God about it and just meditating on Scripture and, you know, thinking about today and what God wants to say to you as a congregation, specifically in that. And, you know, God has been speaking to me, and there's no 8-point plan, because it never is, but God's been highlighting some things to me, which I just want to share with you. And, you know, if we read the book of Acts, we see that, you know, it starts off, before Jesus goes to heaven, he tells the disciples, wait, goes to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit to come, for the power that's going to come from on high, and then you'll be my witnesses. That was the purpose of the power that was going to come to them, that they were going to be God's witnesses to the ends of the earth. That's quite awesome, isn't it? The purpose of the power was to be a witness. And so we see that, you know, the disciples... I'm going to speak a lot about Acts, but I'm not actually going to read from it because I haven't got time, but if you want to read it, it's there. Yes, we see that, like, they go and they wait, and eventually the Holy Spirit comes and falls on them, and it's like crazy. You know, they actually see tongues of fire resting on their heads. They speak in other languages. You know, they look like they're drunk because of the Spirit that's on them. So you can imagine the wild scene that it is, and it spills out into... You know, I kind of imagine it spilling out into the road, so I don't really know exactly how it happened. And there's a crowd there wondering what's going on. And out of the overflow of this move of the Spirit, suddenly we see Peter finds his voice. You know, he finds this place where he's got this crowd of thousands of people that have come, gathered in that place. And he finds his voice, and he's able to explain to them what is happening now, what's happened throughout their history, the Jewish history, leading up the point to Jesus, what Jesus did, and what it means for them. And you know, it says there, about 3,000 men, so not including the women and children, get saved. That's amazing, isn't it? And we have to backtrack and remember, Peter, you know, he was with Jesus, he's a very zealous man, he obviously had revelation that he got from God. But, you know, he says to Jesus, you know, I'll never leave you, I'll die for you. He's got all of this zeal, but when it actually comes to it, he gets scared in fear of his life and he denies Jesus. And, you know, he has that whole thing, he goes through that, he's absolutely devastated. Then Jesus comes, he forgives him, he restores him, he draws out the gold of who he is. He kind of freshly commissions him. And then Peter gets filled with the Spirit, a move of the Spirit comes, and great boldness comes on Peter, that he's able to stand in front of these crowds, which still, you know, his life would be in danger. That crowd could mob him. You know, we see so many times in the Gospels that the crowds were completely capable of doing that when they didn't like what someone was saying. So the same possibilities still are there as they were before, but now Peter has a new boldness and a courage to speak out with authority who Jesus is and what it means to them, and people respond. And I just think that's amazing. And that is what is available for us as the church. We need a move of the Spirit to get freshly filled with the Spirit that will propel us out to be witnesses, and there we find a boldness. And as you read through Acts, you see all the time that there are inbreakings of the power of God. There's a supernatural that comes. There's miracles that happen. There's visions that happen. All kinds of things. Which usually it seems that the miracle precedes a breakthrough that comes for the gospel, for the kingdom of God. And suddenly somebody there is able to find a voice. You know, we see, if you read through the whole of Acts, you'll see this pattern. In Acts chapter 3, where, you know, we've got Peter and John, they're going to pray. They see this guy who's lame and he's a beggar and he asks them for money. They pray for him, he gets healed. Everybody knows about this man. They know about the fact that he's a beggar and he's lame, and so everyone knows about it. It causes a stir and they want to know what's going on, what's happening. And there again, Peter and John, they find their voice to explain what's happening, explain who Jesus is. And again, many people get saved. And then, you know, Peter and John, then it causes, like, you know, such a stir. They get taken before the Sanhedrin with the threat of going to jail. And even under that persecution, yet again, they find their voice. And we just see, like, throughout Acts, the thing that impresses me the most is the absolute boldness that these people had. That there they are, threat of going to jail, and they're boldly proclaiming who Jesus is. And it says, I love the verse when it says, they recognised that Peter and John were uneducated men, but yet they had been with Jesus because of the confidence at which they spoke with. It's amazing, isn't it? And that's what needs to happen. If we want to see the kind of church growth that happened in Acts, it's going to be by move the Spirit. It's going to be by supernatural acts of God coming in, breaking open situations. We get filled with the Spirit. We get bold. We find our voice and God does stuff. That's how it's going to happen. It's that simple. But yet sometimes it seems so hard. Go with me to Philippians 3. You know, in this congregation, you're really blessed with lots of very intelligent people. You know, lots of people who've got amazing experiences, are very, very skilled, and you've got so much to offer, and it's a really rich place to be. But I just want to be slightly, I don't think controversial is the right word, but blunt, and say, with all of those things, that doesn't mean to say that you're going to see Marlow transformed. Doesn't mean that. And, you know, Paul the Apostle, he was a very educated man, very intelligent. He was all these things. Let's just read this through. Philippians 3, verse 3. For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day, of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Paul was like the top-notch Jew. You know, he was a Pharisee. He stuck by the law. You know, he could think, you know what, I'm pretty sorted. I've got it all going for me. But he knew that he could put no confidence in the flesh. That he was going to follow the call of God in his life. And he was going to see the kind of breakthrough that is promised as the kingdom of God comes. That actually, he needed to learn another way. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. If you just go with me to John 15. This is my favourite chapter in the Bible. And I've been meditating on it loads in recent times. And, you know, it's the whole thing, if you don't know it, about where Jesus talks about him being the vine, and we're the branches, and that we need to learn to abide in him. And in verse 5 it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, I was just thinking about what does nothing mean. Nothing means nothing. You know, apart from him, we can do nothing. And yet we spend so much time relying on our own strength, our own abilities, thinking that surely if we get all this sorted, we'll make an impact, or it's in all kinds of areas of our lives. But actually, that's not it. We need to be completely surrendered to the Spirit of God, learning to abide in him, and then we will start to see the kind of fruitfulness that we're looking for. You know, for me personally, as some of you know, I've had this virus for the last few months after I came back from big year mission trip to Sierra Leone, and I feel much better now, but I'm still not 100% there, but I'm believing I'm being healed. But, you know, I was the most ill I ever felt. My whole life was completely exhausted. I was in so much pain. In fact, at one point it was so painful for about a week that I was like, I can't hack it, I'm going to end up in hospital. That's the level of how bad I felt. And anyway, in that time, as I spent a lot of time lying on my bed, I've been like, had time to, you know, be hanging out with God. And one of the things that God has really been showing me is that although I caught this virus from Sierra Leone, but actually my body was really run down because I spent so much of my time trying to do everything in my own strength. Now, I love John chapter 15, and it's something that I always, like, would be like, yeah, that's how I want to be. But it was like the Holy Spirit was just uncovering in me how much I actually relied on my own abilities, you know, in how I was doing Christian ministry and how I was leading. That actually meant that I wasn't seeing the level of fruitfulness that I was hoping to see. I was getting very frustrated. So I've just been like asking the Holy Spirit just to teach me personally, you know, what does it mean to actually do what this chapter says? You know, it says that we should see much fruit. You know, and so if it's told me that I can be very fruitful, that we as the church are called to be fruitful, if I've got all these stories in the Gospels about what Jesus did and how it says we're going to do greater things than him, then why, how can I see and how can we as the church actually make an impact into our towns and communities that actually sees transformation? And so, you know, that is my passion. I want to see our communities transformed by the love of Jesus. I don't want us to be a weak, ineffective church. I want us to be a powerful church because I know that that is what God has called the church to be. And so the only thing that I can see in Scripture is if we're going to be that, then we need to learn as a church how to abide in him. And that when we look through Acts, it's a time in, it's a move of spirit that comes, it's outbreaks of the supernatural, people find their voice and transformation happens. So I want to say to you as the Marlow congregation that God is calling you afresh to find your voice into the town of Marlow. Now this doesn't take away from anything that already happens that's making an impact or anything that's happened in the past. It's just an encouragement that there's more. There's more. And I just really believe that the Holy Spirit will give you keys prophetically that will unlock things. You know, for myself as a congregation leader, I am always looking for what is God saying, what is God doing? What are the keys that he's given us that's going to unlock our village, unlock the university? You know, that's why I'm always asking God. And there have been moments when God has either spoken to me directly or he's spoken to someone else in the congregation, they've come and shared it. And I've seen, yes, that is a key that God is giving us that's going to unlock this village. And God's going to give you keys that are going to unlock this town. And I just want to really encourage you just to get yourself in that place where you are listening to what the Spirit is saying. Don't just look at the need. There's so much need that it's overwhelming. We need to be Spirit-led to say, okay, God, what are you calling us to go for? And what are the things that are going to unlock it? And, you know, in the journey, about 2 years ago, God really spoke to me and kind of showed me this thing that we're doing now that's called Life Worth Living. And I'll explain what it is in a moment. But as God gave me the vision for that, he showed me really clearly that this was like a door. And as we went for this, that we'd open this door and other people would walk through it with other kinds of things that break through. But there was something about this that was going to break open stuff. And so this kind of ministry thing that we started it in May. Yeah, I think it was May, it was. And basically what we've been doing is we have a tent set up right in the heart of the council estate, because Enfield Green is like, it has a council estate which is full of typical council estate type people. It has a student population and it also has like, you know, very, very rich people kind of in big houses. So it's got those three kind of, you know, different groups of people going on. And I just felt like God was saying that we need to have this tent in the heart of the council estate and just offer drinks, offer prayer for people and stuff like that. Have prayer going on where it happens, and then have people walking around the village just praying, asking for opportunities to go and talk to people. And so we've started doing that. And, you know, we're only at the beginning, but already we've just seen God do some really awesome things. The Village Residents Association have heard about it, and they're, like, really happy and kind of feel challenged by the fact that we are actually doing something to the state. They feel like they've been rejecting it. We've had favour with the council, the local police, who we already have favour with, but they have been really, really helpful in the whole thing. And we are beginning to get opportunities to pray for people and encounter people that we would never otherwise know. And the people that we've really been building relationship with being the children. There are loads of children who live down that road, and that road is actually the road that I live on. And they're always out there playing. And just to give you an example of the kind of environments they're living in, I was walking down the road about a month ago, and I heard this guy screaming at the top of his voice to his partner, saying, you know, you need to get out of the house and this stuff. All the children were screaming, crying, and she's like shouting out, I want to die, and all it just was so horrendous. And that happens quite often in this estate, that kind of thing. And in the midst of that, one of the little boys who's in this group, who lived kind of the next house along, he was in bed and he looked out the window and he tapped on the window to me, and he was like, and it was just so cute. And but there was something about it that really spoke to me, that in the midst of, like, there's such a problem with domestic abuse in this estate, but there are those little children who are so sweet and innocent, and while they're hearing all this terrible stuff, there's just something there that really spoke to me through it. And on Saturday, when we had our last Life Worth Living, not yesterday, Saturday before, as soon as we set up, the children ran to the tent, and they were like, yay, you're back! And we had this really nice hot chocolate, and they were like, oh, this is the best thing ever! And then, like, apparently one of the boys was like, if you came on Christmas Day, then it would make Christmas Day even better. Which is really cute. But the really great thing happened is, over the last few months, we've just kind of been building up a relationship with these children, is that this time they wanted us to pray. And they were pouring out their hearts with different things going on in their families and asking for prayer for them, and actually people praying right there and then. And it was just like, wow, this is amazing. That God is doing something. We are connecting with people that we wouldn't have otherwise been able to connect with. So I believe that God is going to give you keys. And, you know, just be listening and seeing what God is doing. And, you know, as well, you see as well, I often see this in the journey, that, like, different people are feeling different things. And then because as the leader of the journey, I get to hear it all. And you begin to see where all the crossover and connection points are taking place and how it all works together and what God's doing. And so, you know, just be seeing the different things that God is going to raise up and how they connect together in the Marlow congregation as part of a strategy that God will give you to find your voice in the town of Marlow. Okay, so I'm just going to talk a little bit about student, finding your voice in the student world, and then I shall end. So, as most of you probably know, the journey where we planted it 6 years ago, and our first kind of mission field was to reach out to Royal Holloway University. And if I kind of reflect on finding my voice into the student world, and then continually what that means, I would say that just like we see in Acts, I can actually see the same pattern. I was a student at university. There was a real move of the Spirit amongst the Christian students. And we saw 15 people become Christians in 1 year, which, like, you know, compared to the thousands we see in Acts, is only small. But that was pretty amazing from our perspective at that point. And, you know, we saw people getting healed and people just falling in love with Jesus and getting a sense of destiny for what God was calling to them to beyond university and all that kind of stuff. So there was a real sense of the Spirit moving and an excitement every day of what was God going to do. And in that time, God really spoke to me, very surprisingly from my own personal perspective, and said to me, will you give your life to see revival come in this place? And so for me, that was a really serious decision that I had to make, which I didn't say, oh yes, straight away, but kind of did then a few months on. And then really, So there was that word from God that came out, that move of the Spirit, and then that call that came. And kind of then, from then on, it was a sense of trying to work it out bit by bit, which I had no clue or no idea what that would look like. And I gradually realised it might be something to do with church planting, and there was all kinds of things that happened, which I haven't got time to go into. But God, when it actually came to planting the journey, God was just connecting me with different people and the most crazy things, which had nothing to do with... I was very, you know, I had no experience. I was naive. You know, I think it was just God. I can't believe how bold I was at that point just to meet up with people and say all these different things. It was just really God kind of leading me into that. But one of the things that I would say about reaching into the student world, or now reflecting, is that it might seem funny to some people, but to the students, I'm very old. You know, I'm 12 years younger than the freshers coming in, and that's ancient to them. And so in order to have a voice into the student world, you have to understand that student culture changes very, very quickly all the time. And what it was for me to be a student is very different from what it is now. And so in order to kind of bridge that cultural gap, you have to constantly be equipping the students as missionaries back onto the campus. That's the way you continue to have a voice into the student community. So that is one of the keys, that it's always about how are you encouraging and vision and equipping the students to reach out to the other students, because they understand the culture and they're the best people just to do it. So you kind of shouldn't put any restrictions on them, but just release them to get on and do it with that safety and covering and envisioning and all that kind of stuff. The other thing I would say is one thing that we learned in this last year, we've had a lot less students in this last year than we have done, and there's all kinds of reasons we can see why that happened. But one of the things that we've learned is that our programme for students in this last year, which was very fruitful and effective a couple of years ago, wasn't very fruitful this year. And I know that that happens in all kinds of church ministry, but in the student world, it happens so much faster. So you have to constantly be aware and keep on moving with the pace. So those are the key things. The last thing I want to say about student culture, if you want to know more about it, you can ask me, is that I think last year or maybe before, the Evangelical Alliance did a survey of kind of students in that kind of age at Momentum. And they, one of the questions was, what is the thing that most attracts you to church? And the things that came up the most were good worship and relevant teaching, which is quite interesting. But I just want to say into that is that whilst that will attract the Christian students, and you need to attract the Christian students in order to enable them to be missionaries out into the campus, that survey was only done of a certain type of Christian at Momentum, and I really doubt that is the thing that's going to break open student culture. So if you want to be really reaching out to student culture, you've got to be about building community and doing all kinds of things which are not just about your meeting. So there are just a few thoughts about finding your voice into student culture. So yeah, I'm going to end now. But let's just have a few moments just to respond and just pray to God and just ask him to speak to us afresh. The other thing I wanted to say, sorry, that I forgot to say, which is very important, that I felt when I was preparing, was for you as a congregation, I really feel like you need to really put a priority on prayer. And I know, I think Helen maybe said it in a talk last week, or I heard her say it sometime, about finding a prayer space. And I just want to say to you, I really feel like you just need to go and look for a prayer space. Don't worry about all the ins and outs of how it's going to work out practically right now, but just go and look for it, because I really feel that if you as a congregation are going to find your voice in tomorrow, it's got to be by a move of the Spirit. So you've got to get really serious about prayer and seeking God's face. So I just felt that to share that. But yeah, let's just pray. Yeah, Holy Spirit, I just thank you, Lord, that you teach us, you reveal things to us, you're the one who challenges our hearts. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you continue that work in our hearts of challenging us and open our eyes to see, Lord, how we can see breakthrough in the town of Marlow, how this congregation can find those keys that are going to unlock the town. Lord, would you just put a desire in our hearts to seek your face, to see a move of the Spirit come. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't rely on our own abilities, that we would put no confidence in the flesh. But Lord, you would teach us how to go about this at that place of abiding in you, Lord. That, Lord, the kind of fruit that you have called us to, that we would see it happen because we're learning to abide and to do it from that place. And so, Lord, I just want to pray that the Marlow congregation will be known as a congregation that abides in you, and out of that place sees great fruitfulness, that they know that power coming on them to be witnesses. That, Lord, they don't just stay in the happy Holy Spirit place, but get out there and be witnesses to this town, Lord, that we want to see revival come to this town, Lord. Amen.
Amen.